You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. And I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side on Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. on this rather cold but beautiful day here in Chicago. Time is 9 o'clock straight up, and co-hosting Graziano Marcheschi, the director of lay ministry formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Graz, welcome back. I know you were out sick with shingles.
Shingles. It's as bad as they say.
Wow. And it really came on suddenly, didn't it?
Yeah, out of nowhere. Well, I had 3 days warning. I had pain in my back and wondered, gee, I don't remember pulling anything. And then I started thinking, this feels like what my mother-in-law was talking about when she was going through shingles. And then suddenly this thought, terrifying thought, came through my mind. Do you think it could be? And sure enough.
So you were knocked out of work for about a week?
Two weeks. It's my first day really back.
Well, welcome back, and we were praying for you, and welcome back into the
thank you
starting lineup. And I see through the glass here, are those young ladies from Maria High School?
They are.
Is that right? They're all waving. Yeah, wave to the TV camera, right, the radio camera. Oh, the audience in the control room is from Maria High School.
The Audio Visual Club.
Oh, the Audio Visual Club from
they do
Maria
radio
High School.
And TV there, too.
Yeah, that's terrific. Well, welcome, young ladies.
See, if I couldn't have made it today, you could have pulled one of them in.
Exactly. They're here touring the new studios here of the Quigley Center Radio and Television. They're talking with Jim Dish and Ryan Blackburn and Brian Hitman Brock from former hockey or present hockey. So we got to get to our topic here on Relevant Radio 950 AM on Catholic Schools Today, a special edition of Catholic Community of Faith. And Francis Cardinal George, Archbishop of Chicago, is announcing the establishment of the Archdiocese of Chicago Board of Catholic Schools. As a governing body, the board's mission will be to foster and promote the ministry of Archdiocesan Catholic elementary and high schools as part of the educational mission of the Archdiocese of Chicago. The board will be responsible for the operations of Catholic schools, except where the responsibilities of pastors takes precedent under canon law. I guess I'll have to read the canon laws.
Yeah, better.
And the areas the board will oversee include Catholic identity, finance, institutional advancement, and planning. And back with us by popular demand, Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the superintendent of Catholic schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Sister Mary Paul, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Father Graz, great to be with you again.
Great to have you. Now, Sister Mary Paul, we read about this in the Catholic New World, but tell us, how was this founded? Whose idea was this, and what is this all about?
Well, I think the idea actually stemmed from several years ago. I think Dr. Wilsonovich and others had really tried to push for a board, but the time wasn't ripe and the power wasn't there for the board. But we have since been working with what we call our board's a specified jurisdiction. And so the board actually used some of the things that our board's a specified jurisdiction used. And the Cardinal, I think, in a great act of courage, along with John Krogan, the new board chair, and me to some extent, and Maureen Murphy, one of our attorneys, and Pat Lagas up at up in canon law, everybody had their little piece to be sure that then these bylaws had some punch. And I think they do. And I think it's a tremendous act of courage on the part of the Cardinal to engage the lay people, really, in some of the functioning of our schools. And I'm thrilled for it.
So this is a first-time effort. We haven't had a board like this before?
No, not like this. There was a board that was advisory to Cardinal Bernardine, but it just kind of stopped meeting. We tend to look at some of that history. But in terms of this kind of board that will actually evaluate the superintendent or be directly accountable to the Cardinal for the recommendations regarding the schools and these very vital programs, it's new.
Yeah.
And I think it's relatively new even nationwide.
Well, the thing is, regarding the Board of Catholic Schools, when I mentioned about the oversee Catholic identity, finance, institutional advancement, and planning, when you have a particular grammar school, Catholic grammar school, and high school, how will the board, in a sense, oversee each individual grammar school because you have they're operating within their own parameters. So where does the board fit in?
It can't really. The board has to that'll be delegated to the superintendent and the Office of Catholic Schools. But the board will oversee that operation.
Yeah.
So the board is another. It's basically another level. But it brings a level of expertise, asks the critical questions. We've only had two board meetings. One was an orientation. Actually, both have been orientation. Even Saturday was just to bring them up to speed a little bit on the system. So that they're already asking terrific critical questions and helping us take a look.
Now, what are some of the questions they're asking?
They're asking things like what is the relationship of the school and the church? They're asking questions that are financial. We had Kevin Marzalek, Jimmy Legault, and Father Canary do presentations to the board. On Saturday, just to get the kind of a context, and so just to wrap your mind around how the church's mission is embodied in the schools.
So earlier you mentioned there previously had been an advisory board to Cardinal Bernardine. This one is presented as a governing board.
Yes, it is.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is an advisory board is a great group of people, and you listen to their advice because of the weight of their advice and your respect for them. But with a governing board, you take that same component and you also say, okay, it's our responsibility to bring forth action plans or planning for schools. We're going to take a look and make sure that the school is truly Catholic, truly academic. How are we going to know? Show us the data. And we've got some terrific people who are going to be driving those committees for the board. And really the bulk of the board's work will be done in committees, which will not just involve the board, but people beyond the board.
Tell us a little bit about those people you have. What kind of groups?
Sure
you got a great lineup there, Sister Mary Paul.
They are. I hope I don't bore you here. But
No, go ahead.
Let me do it in alpha order because there's no other way other than the cardinal. We'll put the cardinal first, and he's president of the board. And then John Krogan, who is the president of Rail Splitter International, is the chair. But after that, we have John Canary, who is the vicar general for the Archdiocese. Larry Dowling, the pastor of St. Agatha's Church. Dennis Fitzsimons, who is the chairman of McCormick Foundation, McCormick Tribune Foundation. Mike Garanzini, the president, Father Michael of Loyola, president of Loyola. Pat Hackett, great finance guy on his own finance. He's on the finance council. Josh Hale, the executive director of the Big Shoulders Fund here in Chicago. Reverend Dennis Holtschneider, who's the president of DePaul University. Ambassador James Kenny of Kenny Construction, a former ambassador to Ireland, I might add.
Hi.
Harry Kramer, Madison Dearborn Partners, Jimmy Legault, the chancellor of the diocese, Pedro Martinez, the chief financial officer for the Chicago Public Schools.
Now, that's interesting, from the Chicago Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think we have to take a look at that just because we do a lot of partnerships with the Chicago Public Schools, especially in terms of the federal funding that follows the children. And I'd like to see more of that federal funding actually follow our young people. Reverend John McDonald, he's a pastor of Mary Star of the Sea. Andy McKenna, president of Schwartz Supply Service, and this is Andy Jr. Michael Mooney of Goldman Sachs. Ella Mullaney, who's a assistant. She's a professor of law at Northwestern, sharp gal. James Perry, managing editor of Madison Dearborn Partners. John Pollard, who's the pastor at St. Joseph and Wilmette. Raul Raimondo, who is the chief executive officer for the Resurrection Project, a community organizer. Reverend Tim Scully, who's the director of ACE at the University of Notre Dame. Cheryl Thomas, who is an Ardmore Associates. Jack Wall, Catholic Extension Society, founder of Francis Xavier Ward. Edward Weimer, who's a Wind Trust Financial Corporation. So we've got a lot of broad experience.
Now, the thing that really impressed me was that Sister Mary Paul had that list memorized.
Yeah.
And I thought I was rather impressed.
What impressed me?
I don't need any notes.
When she did that little Irish accent, I thought, you know, if she ever gets tired of being superintendent, she could take over in the role of sister in late night catechism.
Thank you, darling. I'm working on it.
She's working on it.
Quite an incredible list of.
Isn't it great?
of individuals. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi. And our guest of this first segment is Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
You are listening to the uplifting sounds of the Master Singers of Archmere Academy in Delaware. Hello, I'm Father Jordan Kelly, co-founder of the Master Singers, and I would like to invite you to an evening of spiritual folk and love songs by this Championship Chamber Choir. We will gather at 7 p.m. on Saturday, March the 28th, in the beautiful setting of St. James Chapel at the Quigley Center. That's at the corner of Rush and Pearson. Your $12 donation will help support the evangelization ministry of the Archdiocese of Chicago. For more information and for tickets, call 312-534-5299 or visit www.goingforth.org. Let me give you that number again, 312-534-5299. I hope to see you Saturday, March 28th, for an evening with the Master Singers of Archmere Academy.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. The time in Chicago is 9:12 on this beautiful, cold Monday in Chicago. It took plenty of rain this past weekend, too much. Technically, it's still winter, and spring is about 2 weeks away, but
just think it could have been snow.
Which would have been 27 inches
oh, my Lord.
Of snow, which means we wouldn't be here today, Gratz.
Snow day!
It'd be a snow week. And our phone number, where is our phone number? 312-5. No, I can't remember. Well,
we have a new phone number.
We have a new phone number. I can't find it. Where's our phone number here?
Call the old number.
Oh, here it is. Here, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. Almost gave the old phone number here on Catholic Schools Today. And I'm going to go to Gratz for the question. We continue with Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Sister, with this newly constituted board for the Catholic schools, I have a couple of questions. One, how often will the board be meeting?
The board itself is scheduled to meet once a quarter, but we've been meeting every month so far. Kind of get caught up, and the committees will meet in between. Yeah. So the board decides the committee works.
Now, how many of these folks are products of Catholic education?
Oh, I think almost all of them.
Really?
Yeah, and most of them have their...
Is that one of the criteria for choosing?
Actually, yes. It was a strong belief in Catholic education,
yeah,
as well as a strong expertise.
Well, I was thinking that because you mentioned that one of the responsibilities is to make sure that the Catholic identity of the schools is maintained. Obviously, you need people who understand what Catholic identity is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sure. And as I look at these beautiful young people from Maria High School here in the studio with their administrators and with their teachers.
They're waving to us.
You think they're waving, and you think, okay, this is what it's all about. And we have to remind ourselves that Catholic education is about what happens every day.
Greg, does this make you feel like the host on Good Morning America? You know, there's the crowd standing out on the street holding up placards. We love Greg.
We love Gratz.
Yeah.
And I love their enthusiasm. And also for these young ladies to be in the studio, talk about get a hands-on experience. And they've done a tremendous job here at the Quigley Center for the Radio and Television Studio. And, you know, to the young ladies, it's a great area to promote with radio and television, especially the Word of God. The people are out there.
Yeah, they are. And we haven't done a very good job of marketing that. It's time. That's one of the things the board can do for us.
Well, speaking of the board then, obviously, like you said, you've been meeting every month because there's a lot for them to catch up on.
Father Michael at Loyola said it's like drinking out of a fire hose.
a lot to cover.
Get a little sip.
What's your hope for the board for this first initial year?
For this first year, we would like to get everybody caught up because there is a massive amount of information out there. A lot of differences from across the archdiocese. There is no one size fits all. And yet there are some general underlying principles that have to be held to. So I think
give us an underlying principle.
Underlying principle would be Catholic identity, would be academic excellence, would be engagement of parents, would be professional development of teachers. Those are underlying principles, financial stability. But on the other hand, that's going to take different shapes in different neighborhoods and different counties.
When you even mentioned from the very beginning, we talk about Catholic identity, finance, institutional advancement and planning. Each one of those areas could take weeks and months of work and preparation. So how do you break down those four components with a group with what you have?
Well, I've been invited by the board to turn in kind of a list of priorities, things that are, in fact, maybe a few things already in process, and just ask some of those key questions back to them, like should we explore or how can we, and in the hopes of re-engaging them. You know, we have a plan. We have the Genesis plan that's been out for a lot of years. We don't want to ignore that. But on the other hand, it has never engaged a total Catholic community. It's kind of stopped with our educators and
that's a good
point.
So
we need to be able to take that plan, which is theory, and make it truly strategic with regard to schools.
The thing is, the one area that really hits me is the area of financial.
Yeah.
Look at our economy. You know, people are scared. People are losing jobs. And they keep talking about 2009 could even be worse than the last part of 2008. It might be a couple of years before things get going. Look at the housing market. So just for a moment, Sister Mary Paul, talk about the financial component of this governing board.
Well, there are huge financial issues that will have to be brought before this board. And in addition to taking a look at the tuition-driven models, you know, we give a money in terms of subsidies and support. Should some of those subsidies or transitional grant monies be converted into scholarship? A Catholic voucher plan, in a sense, within ourselves? Should we take a look at which it would build enrollment, which is a key issue for how efficiently a school can be run, as a function of your numbers. We can also take a look. I hope we're – one pastor told me, you're sheep. All Americans are sheep. And we are kind of political sheep. We haven't gone fighting.
Well, I thought you said
sheep. Sheep. No, sheep is an S-H-E-E-P, like little lambs to the slaughter. And I think partly what we need to do is to say, okay, we need corporate tax credits here. Let's get this done. Arizona and Pennsylvania can't build schools fast enough because it really helps the middle-class Catholic parents as well as people that it builds coalitions because charter schools and public schools can even apply for those same foundations. So we need to look at some of those things in Illinois. We're a $2 billion baby in this state.
Amen.
$2 billion.
And we are saving
$1 billion right here in Chicago.
We are saving the public sector so much money. And you're absolutely right. I think – you know, we've got some muscle to flex.
We need to.
And we've been very reluctant about doing it.
We have, and I'm hoping that the board will find a way to do this that brings moral integrity and political clout to this process.
I think we are all products of a Catholic education, and I had a tremendous background at Mary Seat of Wisdom and Grammar School, Notre Dame High School for Boys and Niles, and then the seminary system. So I'm passionate about Catholic education. What's interesting about this board is you are gathering some tremendous minds and people of deep faith, and to really pick upon their expertise to even make a system even better.
Yeah, you're right, Father, and that's exactly what it is. It's making the best better. It is making sure that we are vibrant, we're going to be around for a future, and position ourselves to be able to serve our young people, revision ourselves as a church of service to our children.
Yeah. And I know we've had for a long time the Big Shoulders program, which I think involves corporate partnerships. A lot of major corporations channel money into that fund that helps our most financially in need schools. But wouldn't it be great to have those kinds of partnerships for all the schools?
For all the schools, because we have similar problems in many schools outside of the Chicago area.
We're going to a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation at Mundelein Seminary. And our guest has been Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Sister Mary Paul, you are doing a marvelous job.
Oh,
love your enthusiasm,
you.
Your passion, and God's blessings upon this governing board for schools of the Archdiocese. Our phone number is 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Bless you, Greg.
God bless you.
All right.
Are you or someone you know experiencing the sadness of infertility? Are you committed to spreading the gospel of life? Then join us on Saturday, March 28th at the Marriott O'Hare for a major conference on Dignitas Personae, the new Vatican instruction on bioethics. Dr. Thomas Hilgers, a pioneer in assisting infertile couples to have children, will present on NAPO technology. Neuroscientist Father Tad Boholchik will discuss the Church's guidance on artificial reproductive technologies. Cardinal George will present on the dignity of the human person, and Bob Gilligan will discuss key legislative issues that impact our faith. This event is sponsored by the Archdiocese of Chicago Respect Life Office, the Office for Evangelization, and Relevant Radio. Attendance is $35 and includes breakfast, lunch, parking, and materials. For more information or to register, go to www.respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355.
The Jewish and Catholic communities of Chicago will co-sponsor the 14th annual Joseph Cardinal Bernardin Jerusalem Lecture on Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at the Lincoln Park campus of DePaul University. Professor John Levinson will speak on monotheism and chosenness, the Abrahamic foundation of Judaism and Roman Catholicism. Dr. Levinson is Albert A. List Professor of Jewish Studies at Harvard Divinity School and recently co-authored Resurrection, The Power of God for Christians and Jews with Kevin Madigan of Harvard Divinity School. At the lecture, His Eminence Francis Cardinal George will attend and greet the audience. The date again is Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m. Admission is free, but reservations are requested. Please call 312-534-5325 to reserve your place. That number again is 312-534-5325. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith, special edition Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950. Time is 9:23 on this Monday in Chicago. Phone number 312-255-8408. And we're still blessed with the visitors from Maria High School, their audio visual club. They're still waving to us. So, yeah, wave to the radio family out there on Relevant Radio 950. And co-host Graziano Marcheschi. Graz, you're holding up pretty well after
I'm doing just fine. You know,
it's always great to have you teamed up here on Relevant Radio 950.
Good to be back.
And we've got a tremendous next segment lined up. Three of the 19 finalists for the 2009 Cole McCormick Early Childhood Teaching Awards are from the Chicago Catholic Schools. Five will be recognized as outstanding educators in the Chicagoland area in April. And with us in studio, we have the three of the 19 finalists, Cynthia Helwink, pre-kindergarten teacher, St. Maria Goretti School in Schiller Park, Amy Sherwinga, kindergarten teacher from Our Lady of Guadalupe School in Chicago, and Eva Wachkowski, preschool teacher from St. Helens School. And I know Eva. She and her husband Ed and family belong to St. Mary of the Woods. So when I saw the name last Friday given to me from Ryan, I said, Eva Wachkowski, I said, I know an Eve Wojciechowski. And also with us in studio, Julie Ramsky, the Director of Early Childhood Education for the Office of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Welcome to all of you on Relevant Radio 950, Catholic Schools Today. Thanks for being here.
And
thanks, now, Julie,
yes.
What is the Cole McCormick Early Childhood Teaching Award? What is that?
The Cole McCormick Early Childhood Teaching Awards is in its 14th year. It is the first award to specifically recognize early childhood teachers, teachers in pre-K through third grade, actually infant toddler programs all the way through age 8, third grade, in private, public child care, preschools, kindergartens, community-based programs, elementary schools in Cook and Lake and DuPage counties. It is co-sponsored, funded by the McCormick Foundation and the Dolores Cole Education Foundation. Kind of like the Golden Apple, but specifically for
It's been going on for how many years for this award?
14 years. And I have had the honor of being on the selection committee for approximately the last 8 years.
And from so the actual finalists are not necessarily the final winners. How many actual winners will be selected out of that group?
There will be five winners chosen from the current group of 19 educators.
But as they say at the Emmys, it's an honor just to be nominated.
It is. It truly is. These teachers that are here with us today are our cream of the crop. The finalists exemplify the best teaching practices in early education.
Yeah. And you're teaching the most adorable children in the universe. You know, that age is just so precious. But I know it takes a tremendous – I mean, you know, most parents have a hard time keeping up with one or two. When you've got a whole classroom full, that requires a tremendous amount of energy.
Now, maybe for Amy and for Eva and for Cynthia, were you aware that you were even nominated? I mean, how did that whole process work? Were you aware of it going back to last fall? Was this a surprise? Amy, were you aware of this from the very start?
Yes. Mr. Hughes, which is my principal, had told me that he had nominated me for the award.
And this was back, what, last fall?
It was October?
Yeah,
Sometime in the fall. I think it was around
so
October.
So he tells you, I've nominated you, and at that point, were you on for doing something, or did you just said thank you?
Well, I said thank you, and then Julie came out, and she visited the school, and then there was a lot of paperwork that had to be filled out. We had to get reference letters to send in and things like that.
And the same thing for you, Eva?
Yes. I've been working with Julie the past 2 years. I'm in a National Louis Early Childhood Leadership Program, so I meet Julie on a regular basis monthly in National Louis, and one of our meeting, she told me.
So Julie nominated you?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Julie was the one who nominated me.
And how about you, Cynthia? What's your story?
With the great support of your principal.
My principal, Christine Weiner, nominated me, and it also happened in October, and then it was followed by a visit by Ms. Ramsky.
Okay, and the thing is that about how many people were even nominated, Julie, from the whole area, of which we have 19 finalists, five will be, of course, winners, but everyone's being nominated is terrific. Are we talking hundreds of teachers?
It's been pared down over the years. The selection committee is asked to nominate teachers who are finalist caliber, so each one of us is asked to nominate 2 to 3 teachers. And there's approximately a dozen to 15 people on the nominating committee.
So really, they are top-notch
teachers.
Oh, yes,
absolutely, absolutely. There's some nominations taken from the public, so to speak, but for the most part, it's a group of people in the field of early childhood education that
Let me ask this, Amy,
teachers.
How did you get into teaching? Is this something going back to you from when you were in grammar school? You said, I would like to be a kindergarten teacher one day. What's your story?
Actually, I've always loved being around children. I used to love babysitting when I was in high school and volunteering at the church daycare center and things like that. But I actually went into college as an accounting major. And shortly into it, I realized that wasn't what I enjoyed doing. And I took a class where you explored the field of education. I really found that that's what I wanted to do and spend my rest of my life working at. So
you entered college thinking you might be an accounting major.
Yes.
And end up being teaching small children.
Yes.
That's incredible. Eva, what's been your story? How did you end up teaching small children?
I graduated in Poland, so all my teaching education took place in Poland. I'm an immigrant, came in by the end of 1987, I came to America from Poland. And I used to teach after college for 5 years in first, second, and third grade. And come here, settle, raise the children, and then send my own children to Catholic school. St. Mm-hmm. Helen was the beginning when I sent my children to school. And being a parent and part of the parish and the community and helping out, I think I found my true calling, that really teaching the smallest children was my gift. My gift.
But if you started back in Poland.
In Poland,
you
right.
Tell, how about you, Cynthia? How did your career start and how did you end up teaching small children?
As a teenager, I was teaching ballet, tap, acrobatic, and that kind of started me thinking when I went to college I would go into education. The dancing line is not very, let's say, stable, so I continued on teaching. As I student taught in a public school, I only taught there for 3 years, and then I switched to the Catholic schools. I taught first at St. Celestine. I taught first grade for a number of years, and then I taught at St. Cyprian in River Grove. And for the last 15 years, I've been lucky enough to teach at St. Maria Goretti, which is a wonderful small school in good old Schiller Park.
All right. Well, we're going to continue our conversation with these gifted teachers after just a short break. So you've been listening to Catholic Schools Today. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Don't go away.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a personal invitation to join my internet-based network. Beginning in Holy Week, it will be my pleasure to send you short reflections to help you on your spiritual journey. You can sign up by going to our website at www.archchicago.org. All we need is your email address. That's www.archchicago.org. Thanks for joining the Cardinals Network as we use the internet to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation, co-hosting with Father Greg Sakowitz, the anchor. We're talking today to some gifted teachers who are the finalists of the 2009 Cole McCormick Early Childhood Teaching Awards. And they are Cynthia Helwink of Santa Maria Goretti School. Santa Maria Goretti, yay, nice Italian school. Amy Scheringa, kindergarten teacher from Our Lady of Guadalupe School. And Eva Wachkowski, who's a preschool teacher at St. Helen. And we're also talking with Julie Ramsky from our Office of Catholic Schools. You know, some people might think that Catholic education at that very early, pre-K level isn't that important, that, you know, children at that age just need to learn how to get along and how to play. Why does it need to be Catholic? Talk about that a little bit. How is Catholic education at the preschool level different from non-Catholic education?
First of all, our preschool programs are an integral part of an elementary school. There's a seamless pre-K through grade 8 educational experience for our children. So there's very little transition. If they come to us in the preschool year, there's very little transition issues because the kindergarten classroom is next door or down the hall. So that is one very, very reassuring factor for parents. The environment, the whole Catholic school environment permeates every grade down to preschool. And parents are looking for not only a school that's safe and provides high quality education, which our schools do, but also that Catholic identity. And it's very easy.
And I think it's so important to realize from what you're talking about is that Catholic identity begins at an early age.
Absolutely.
I forgot who once made the comment, but they said by the time a child reaches the age of 3, like 90% of their values are rooted. The other great line is values are caught, not taught. You know, it's a wonderful mm-hmm. line. And so I think Catholic identity doesn't begin when they're in sixth grade or in high school. Begins from the earliest age. I do also want to mention here that we have with us in studio, we have Mike Hughes, principal of Our Lady of Guadalupe, here to support. And also, is it Marianne Johnston, also here supporting their teachers. So to Marianne and to Mike, where are you in the glass there? Wave to all the listeners on radio there. Welcome to Catholic School Today, supporting your teachers here. And I think that just that whole area of the small children, for maybe for Amy, for Eva, for Cynthia, what intrigues you the most about dealing with small children? I mean, when I go at St. Mary of the Woods and talk to the preschoolers and kindergartners and first graders, I love their innocence. I love their enthusiasm. Their playfulness, their joy. I mean, they can be a handful, there's no question. But what do you find, what intrigues you about working with that particular age group, which I find fascinating? Amy?
I think when they're younger, they have a greater interest in learning, and they enjoy coming to school. And it's more fun for them. And when it's fun for them and they enjoy being there, it's great for the teacher because they're learning, you're having a good time, it makes for a great day. And two, when they're younger, I think you see a greater development and growth over the course of the year because there's so much for them to learn when they're so young that it gives a greater sense of accomplishment for them, but also for you, for everything that they've learned over the course of the year.
How about for you, Cynthia? What is it?
To see their curiosity. And I feel that my part is so important because I begin their lifelong search of learning. And I am, too, a lifelong learner, as hopefully everyone else is, too.
Eva?
For me, is that the most wonderful thing is that they don't judge you. And for me, be part of immigrant and with my always in the back, so think how about my English skills, how I talk. Is that really, they don't judge you. They are so open. They entrust you know, entrust me for a whole day, that they feel safe, that they, their feelings are validated. They are, so that's most rewarding for me. And I think when they feel that warm, the welcoming place for me, what I can give them, that love and respect, they are better learners. And I can see that over the 10 years, how they develop.
Now, that's an interesting response. I've never heard it put that way, that what I love working about the kids the most is they don't judge you. Isn't it funny? As we get older, we sometimes become so critical, so judgmental, and by that age, there's such an innocence about them. And why, as we get older, do we sometimes become so hurtful, so critical, so judgmental? It's a great line, you know, if you point a finger at someone, literally you point your finger at someone, but realize that three fingers are pointing back at you. Point a finger at somebody, no, but three of your fingers are pointing right back at you. But that age is such a profound innocence.
You know what you said earlier, Greg, about faith developing very early and the Catholic imagination developing early. Little story from my wife's experience. She teaches pre-K through 8. And even though she's a music teacher, there's always a strong faith component to everything she does. She was teaching the kids about the love of God and the, you know, the closeness of God. And then she launched into one of the songs. And as she was standing in the front there, a little boy came and stood right next to her, pulled on her dress, and she looked down. She looked up at him and said, he looked up at her and said, "Mrs. Markeski, Jesus is standing next to me right now."
Wow.
Which is this absolute, utter conviction that he got it. He knew wow. what she meant. And Jesus was standing right next to him right there and then. You know,
that's a great story.
That is priceless. That's worth every penny of tuition a parent pays, you know.
Yeah, right then and there. Yeah. In fact, maybe along those lines for, you know, Eve and Cynthia and Amy, any particular story comes to your mind from teaching, even going back from your days in Poland, Eva, that, you know, like a story that Grot shared about his wife Nancy with the children, a moment of innocence, a moment of profound insight, where I find that some of my greatest learning moments have been from the children, with their comments, their insights, their thoughtfulness. Sometimes we think we only adults learn from each other, but children can teach us a lot. Any particular story from this year, from last year, from your rookie year, from teaching that comes to mind that really has so impacted, or even Julie, from all your years personally or listening to other teachers, that really can just share with us. Now, I'll tell you one story that I think was my all-time favorite. Now, this dealt with a third or fourth grader. It didn't deal with me particularly, but about 15 or 20 years ago, somewhere in the Archdiocese of Chicago, a priest was giving a tour of the church to all the children. So he showed the children the tabernacle, showed them the pew, showed them the crucifix, showed them the sanctuary, showed them the tabernacle, I mean, the baptismal font, the sacristy, everything. At the end of this tour, the priest asked these third or fourth graders, "What's been the most important thing you've seen during this entire tour?" Little boy raised his hand and said, "The exit sign." The priest said, "Oh, what a smart aleck, the exit sign, so I can get out here and go play." So the priest said, "Okay, Charlie, why has the exit sign been the most important thing you've seen in this whole tour of the church?" And the little boy said, "Well, Father, if we listen to the Word of God from the Bible, the Scripture, and then receive Holy Communion, we now go outside those exit doors to live it." The priest was wow. flabbergasted. So here the priest thought the kid was being a smart aleck. The exit sign the most important because I can go outside now and play and get rid of you in this whole tour. The boys, the mind was thinking, the wheels were turning, he was connecting, and thought, if we truly listen to the Word of God and open to it and receive Holy Communion, the body and blood of Christ, at the end of Mass, now go outside those doors to live it. That is one of the greatest stories I've ever heard on the real meaning of Eucharist and liturgy and Mass.
I have a story that isn't quite so profound.
Go ahead.
This is also from my wife. She was teaching them about the tabernacle, and they were going to go into church, and they had to be very reverent because Jesus was in the tabernacle. So they get into church, and they're walking very quietly, and she hears one of the boys turn to one of the girls and go, "They put Jesus in a can?" And the girl turns to him and goes, "Tommy, Jesus is in tuna."
So just the innocence of children, you know, what they say. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, children. Cynthia, you have a story there?
Yes, I do. It's this year has been, we've been evaluated and come and watched so many times, not only by the team, but also by parents new to the school. But last week, my principal came to do her formal observation. And my children know at this point, pay no attention to anyone in the classroom. They're just invisible. So fine, we did our whole 50-minute visitation, and the next thing was snack. So my principal, like, tiptoes out of the room, and all the children are ready to eat, and they're turning around going, where is she? Where is she? Oh, and then someone says, oh, she went to get her snack. She's coming back.
Or another wonderful story is I teach the second graders for First Holy Communion. And about 6, 7, 8 years ago, one thing I always like to say to the children is that for your First Holy Communion, we celebrate God. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate all of us. I read it on the board. And a little girl raised her hand and said, you know, Father Greg, isn't it interesting that the last two letters of Jesus spells us? And all the years I've taught that we celebrate God, we celebrate Jesus, we celebrate all of us, Eucharist. And the little girl had the insight, the last two letters of the name Jesus spells us. And I thought, I've seen the name Jesus a million times and never saw us in Jesus. And this came from a second grader. And any other stories? Amy or Eva, you got
I
one.
I have two stories.
Okay.
The first one was in a couple years ago. We were the first time going to church. And I explained it. This is the God's house. And the little 3 and 4 years old, they really take everything just literally like it is. And we walked to the church. And one of my little boy, he says, Miss Eva, where's this God's bedroom? I don't see any bedrooms here. So that was just so, it was just brought it. We were so, everybody
we're going to God's
yes.
house.
But I have another story, which is the dad told me. I had a boy in my class. He was always a little thinker, always quiet. But when he asked the question, it was always, his thoughts were deep for his age. And he says, the dad told me one day, he came and says, Miss Eva, I have to tell you this story. I was giving him a bath, and he was sitting and talk. We have a pretty great time together sometimes. And he said, he must be really think about something. And he says, Dad, he says, yes, son, what happens when we die? And he told him the way it is that, you know, our body disintegrated and we're going all to heaven. And he again had pause and he thought and he says, Dad, how am I going to find you in heaven if I won't have eyes? It was the story what I always will, because he thought, you know, through the eyes, yeah, how he's going to meet him in
how
heaven.
See
right,
you, Dad.
All the right. He. 4 years old.
That
but
is
the story,
a great story.
Great story. How the little children think. You know that.
The thing is, you know, what's interesting is that through the mouth of babes, you know, the profound insights mm-hmm. they share, and I think that it's so important that the Catholic identity begins at an early, early age to tell them the Jesus story,
right?
About the importance of Mass, and week in and week out, we celebrate the presence of the Lord in and through the community. That doesn't begin when they're 10 or 12, but from their earliest days, I think of back my own childhood, you know, learning my prayers from my mother in English and Polish mm-hmm. when I was a little boy. We need to bring the segment to a close. Want to thank the three of the 19 finalists for the 2009 Cole McCormick Early Childhood Teaching Awards are from the Catholic schools. And with us in studio have been Cynthia Helwink, pre-kindergarten teacher, St. Maria Goretti School in Schiller Park, Amy Sherwinga, kindergarten teacher from Our Lady of Guadalupe in school in Chicago, and Eva Wichkowski, preschool teacher from St. Helens School and also a member of St. Mary of the Woods with her husband Ed and children. And also we've been with us Julie Ramsky, the director of early childhood education with the Office of Catholic Schools. And also want to thank Mike Hughes and Mary Ann Johnson, two of the principals here, to support their teachers. To all of you congratulations on this prestigious award. Keep up the great work proclaiming the Word of God through children. We are here at Catholic Schools Today. Time is 9:49, and we'll be back right after a break.
God bless you all.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Cardinal George begins a series of visits to Chicago area parishes to discuss the recent Synod of Bishops on the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church. New scholarships are announced to assist Catholic school families that have been financially crippled by unemployment. And Catholic charities and parishes across the Archdiocese reach out to help feed the hungry during these tough economic times. We'll talk to Cardinal George about these stories and more during this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, as well as on our website, gather tips to enhance your Lenten journey.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today, a special edition of Catholic Community Faith. And I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side, and co-host Graziano Marcheschi, the director of lay ministry formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And with us, our third and final segment, we have one of the great priests of the Archdiocese of Chicago, Father John Szymanowski, who has been named the 2009 NCEA Distinguished Pastor Award winner. And John is pastor of St. Agnes Parish in Chicago Heights. John, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Good morning, Father Greg. How are you?
Good, John. Congratulations.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
That is, I know that Father Carl Morello was the prestigious winner last year, and you are the winner this year.
John, we got a streak going here
streak
in Chicago.
Going, yeah. Yeah. What, John, you were ordained what year?
1989.
That's what I thought, because I was ordained in 79, so you are much... much younger than me, and you know, maybe
a lot of people are much younger than you and I, Greg.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for sharing that for us, Graz. Yeah, but you're right about that, Father John. Maybe explain to our listeners what is the NCEA. First of all, that's the National Catholic Education Association Distinguished Pastor Award. What is that all about?
It's an award that's given to pastors who work or have done good work with the school in their parish. For me, I think it's really an award that really speaks to both the school and the parish. I mean, I think when I was flattered and honored to get the award this year, but I really think it says something about how staff and principal and pastor and parish staff all work together. And so the National Catholic Education Association honors each year different sites for their work in Catholic education.
So now then, will you name the distinguished pastor? Is this from the Archdiocese of Chicago, or is this national?
The Archdiocese initially put my name in the hopper, and then it is the National Catholic Education Association that picks out. I believe they're actually by region, so I believe there are about 16 of us picked out throughout the country.
Okay. In fact, you are the recipient from the Great Lakes region,
According
to Ryan Blackburn, our producer of the program here, which is still a tremendous number of priests who would have been nominated. And maybe tell us something about both your parish and your school. How many families, how many children in the school, John?
We have about 1,200 families in the parish. And the school has about 300 students. It's a diverse school, both economically and racially, and we're thriving. We're actually kind of growing. In a time when a lot of schools aren't, we continue to grow a little bit each year, and so it's a great place.
You know, John, last night I was looking at the criteria that are used for selecting the distinguished pastor. I happen to have them here. Let me just read them because I think they're significant. The person who receives the award, the pastor, must possess a clear philosophy of Catholic education, provide spiritual guidance to the school community, participate in school activities, work with the school board, support the school administration, engage the community in providing financial support to the school. And as I looked through that list, I thought, you know, those are all the neuralgic kinds of issues. You know, those are the areas where either it works between a parish and a school or tension develops. You know, sometimes schools complain that the pastor isn't involved enough. You know, he doesn't show up. And then in other places, the pastor is in the school every week, maybe teaching a religion class or, you know, visiting all the classrooms. Oftentimes, you'll hear that a pastor doesn't seem to support the principal or back them up. And in other schools, it's like, yeah, the pastor's right there behind us. So obviously these are areas that you've given some thought to, deciding that the school is an important part of the life of the parish and that you need to be an important part of the life of the school.
Right. For me, I actually, especially now as I continue on in my priesthood, I look forward to working with more schools. I just think that it is one of the most important ministries of the parish, and if we produce and teach our children well, they'll be taking on the reins as they get older, and they'll keep passing on that faith from one generation to the next.
I mean, there's no question, John, that as one brother priest to another and pastor, that the pastor plays an important role in the development, continuation of the school that, you know, I think it's, I love Catholic schools, and I feel honored to be at St. Mary of the Woods with about 465 children in the grammar school.
Great.
And as you mentioned, it is so important, but also the thing, and maybe we can talk about this, how parents sacrifice to send their child to a Catholic school, and then how you are there to help support not only the parents, principal, the faculty, and the students. Say something about that.
You know what? Our parents do an unbelievable job. A number of our parents, I know, are holding two or three jobs just to make sure their kids are able to stay at St. Agnes. So we do, on our part, kind of in stewardship, we do the best we can to help them through scholarship, through different programs, to help reduce some of that tuition. As far as support for the principal and our teachers, my feeling is myself and a committee hired that principal. He's in charge. I'm there to walk with him and to help him, but he's the one running the show. He's doing a great job, but you have to be there to support him. People
exactly.
need to see that you support him, that you're part of the program, and so I really work to do that.
Well, John, we need to bring this to a close. I want to thank Father John Szymanowski, who has been named the 2009 NCEA Distinguished Pastor Award winner. And Father John is pastor of St. Agnes Parish in Chicago, one of the great priests of the Archdiocese. So, John, thank you very much.
Congratulations.
For joining us on Catholic Schools Today. And thank you to co-host Graziana Marcheschi and our producer, Ryan Blackburn, and co-producer, Jasmine Kiddos, and our engineer, Brian Hitman Hockey Brock. To our listeners, God bless. Great week.